Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Yud Gimel. We will begin on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph on the second line of Elias Atraklin. We learned in the Mishnah that one partner cannot compel the other partner to divide an area which is a traklin, which is a pavilion, because it's not large enough to be divided, that each one should be left with a decent shiur. As the Rishonim point out, the minimum amount that they each have to be remained with is 4 amos. And a traklin isn't usually 8 amos large that it could be divided into 2. So now, ein ben kedei lezev kedei lezev mahu. But says the Gemara, if we can't divide it, and we begin now, based on Hashem Yisbarach, the sugya of Gura Ogud. The sugya of Gura Ogud discusses where we have a situation where we have two people who are partners, neighbors, and as we're learning, we have sometimes circumstances that the area is not large enough to be divided. And if it's not large enough to be divided, the question is, if they don't want to remain sharing this place, what is the halacha? And the Gemara introduces now the concept of Goray Ogud. Goray Ogud means either I buy you out, or you buy me out. But of course, there are many issues that need to be discussed when we think about Gura Ogud. The first question is, the way I saw that the Rishonim already discussed it, is that Gura Ogud is something that is a method how to deal with the situation that we are now identifying, that it's an area that's not large enough to be divided. But the question is, meaning that if it was divisible, if it's an area that's large enough to be divided, of course there we don't say Gura Ogud. And many Rishonim explain that Gura Ogud, just like we're learning here, that dividing the property is what Rabbanan suggested, here too, the Gura Ogud is what Chazal suggested in a situation where dividing is not an option. And therefore, according to those Rishonim, Gura Ogud is only used when dividing is not an option. Other Rishonim say that Gura Ogud is a din daraisa, and the halacha is that these neighbors could divide. Of course, that doesn't mean that if two individuals became partners and now one of them, against the terms of the agreement, wants to divide the partnership, can he force the other partner to divide? If there were arrangement made that how the partnership should be structured, and just because one partner wants out, he doesn't have the right to say, good or good, I want to dissolve the partnership. Here we're speaking about a case like our Gemara, where two brothers, for example, inherited a property together. And when they inherited the property together, they don't necessarily want to remain together. And the question is, how could they be told to divide it? Moreover, not in all situations can, as we're going to see in our Gemara, do we just automatically say good or ogud. We only say good or ogud where there's a reason to understand that these two individuals don't want to remain together, or one of them at least doesn't want to remain together. And because he doesn't want to remain together, we have no other option but to try to come up with a solution for them. But, for example, I saw that, let's say, two individuals, using the examples that we're discussing in our shiur, two individuals inherited together a shtar chayiv, that somebody owed their father money. So there's nothing in being together, there's nothing really involved in such a partnership. Since there's nothing involved in such a partnership, we don't say, good or ugly, I just want to dissolve. It's not an issue. We're going to have in our Gemara other examples, we don't say good or ugly. But when we have a piece of property which can be divided, but it's not large enough, as we learned, that's where we say, perhaps, good or ugly. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yehuda says, Istin the Gura Ogud, we say Gura Ogud. And there's a very big discussion here amongst the Rishonim, when we say Gura Agud, what does that mean? Simple, it means, as we said, that one partner could tell the other partner, either you buy me out or I buy you out. So the question now is, the one partner is Baruch Hashem wealthy, and he has the ability, the financial ability, to buy the other partner out. And the other partner doesn't have that financial ability. So potentially, he could take advantage. And he'll say, I'm ready to buy you out. He'll mention even a price which is below market value, knowing that the other partner doesn't have the ability to pay for that. So is that going to be fair? On the other hand, what would be that there's one partner who's very wealthy and he wants this property and he has the ability to pay much more than it's worth. What is the halacha? So there are many Rishonim that say that as we approach Gura Agud, I saw three opinions. One opinion is that the first thing we have to do with Gura Agud is to look at what the fair value of this property is. And then after we take that fair value, then is when the partners say to each other, either you buy me out or I buy you out. But to overprice or underprice, that we can't use Agud or Agud under such circumstances. There are other Rishonim that suggest that we can't use Agud or Agud to undervalue a property, but to overvalue a property, meaning that if there's one partner who has the financial ability and wants to use that financial resources that he has to take and say to the other partner, I'm willing to overpay just that I should be able to get out of this partnership. And the other partner says, well, it's more than it's worth. It doesn't make a difference. That could be done. But if he's going to underpay just to take advantage of the other partner, that seems, from the way I saw in the Rishonim, that nobody would allow that to happen. Rav Yehuda, Rav Nachman Amar, less than the Gura Agud. Rav Nachman, however, disagrees. And the way the Rishonim explain, but I don't want to be your partner, so how could I be forced into a situation of Gura Agud? So the Rishonim, the Rimigas, says, in other words, this is a very small place. It's not big enough for both of us. And to have a situation where we share it, or we have a situation where we take turns, is all unacceptable. So why does Rav Nachman say that we don't do good or ugud? So I saw that the Rishonim say, Rav Nachman says that in such a circumstance where there isn't ability to share and there isn't ability to divide, what they should do is they should rent it. And since they can, and at that point, if they'll rent it, that's how both of them will be able to share the proceeds. It seems that even Rav Nachman, the way I see these Rishonim understanding Rav Nachman's opinion, is only saying that we don't rely on Gura Agud, we don't come to Gura Agud if there are other options. Perhaps if there are no other options, maybe Rav Nachman would agree that in those circumstances we say Gura Agud. Amalei Rav or Rav Nachman. So Rav said to Rav Nachman, according to your opinion, Damit, less than the Gura Agud, you don't agree to the concept of Gura Agud. Why would be the halacha, as we spoke in our previous year, where a father left over two sons, but one is a bechor and gets double, and the other one is a pashut who gets just one shear. So if there's whatever he left over is divided in three, with the bechor getting two shears and the pashut getting one share. So how, if we don't say Gura Agud, how do we divide? Or the father hinich lehem eved, a slave can't be divided, or behemoth tameya, a non-kosher animal. And the way I saw the Rishonim explain the concept of a non-kosher animal is a kosher animal with plenty of people who will eat that animal. So you could sell that animal and get the proceeds, and the brothers will divide those proceeds according to the percentage that they have. But a non-kosher animal is not really very usable. It's only usable for work. To sell it as for meat, nobody's going to eat non-kosher meat. So, and it's hard to divide it. if you're saying that Gora Ogid is not an option, so the Gemara is asking, Ketzer Oysim, what should we do under these situations? So the Rishonim asked the question. The Gemara said, when we have the Bechoru Poshet, that's what would Rav Nachman, who doesn't hold the Gora Ogid, say? So many Mepharshim say that the same question doesn't have to be where one son is a Bechor and one son is a Poshet. Even if two sons, both are not Bechorim, why wouldn't we have the same question? Some Rishonim say, indeed, the question could be asked in both situations. Mara chose this situation, but it doesn't make a difference. But Taisus has a very interesting approach to answer this question. Taisus says, yes, if you have two brothers and they're sharing this animal, so one day he has it, the other day he has it, and that's the way they divide it. However, a Bechor who gets two-thirds versus a Poshet who gets only one-third, if you have an animal and you have access to it for 2 days, you could rent it out for longer trips. If you only have access to the animal for 1 day, you cannot rent it out for more than 1 day at a time. And the Gemara's question is that turns out to be unfair. That's why the Gemara chose the case of a Bechor or Poshet. But then I saw another shot. Yes, we've been learning that a Bechor gets Pishnayim. But even though a Bechor gets Pishnayim, the locha Pishnayim of him getting a double portion is only B'muchsik, only what's there at the time of death of the father, where they're dividing his assets. But when we speak about Roy, what accrues after the father's death, there we don't say Dalocha Pishnayim. So now renting out the animal that the father left as a Yerusha, that in Halocha is considered Roy. That's interest, that's profit that's coming after the father's death. And that, the Rishonim suggest, that the Bechor only doesn't get a double portion. So according to this, the Gemara's question is great. The Bechor is saying to the Poshet, if we remain partners, then I will not get the double share in the earnings that we have from this animal. Because those earnings are Roy. I don't want to lose out the opportunity to get a double share. So if you hold of good or ill good, so you could demand, as we're learning, to separate them. I'll buy you out or you buy me out. But if you, Rav Nachman, don't hold, asks Rav to Rav Nachman, if you don't hold of good or ill good, why am I stuck into such a situation? Why should I be stuck into such a situation? That Amalei, Shani Omer, so he says, no, I say that it is workable. Over l'zeh yom echad, l'zeh shnei yomim. And the way I saw some Rishonim explain, Rav Nachman says that it's not considered Roy, or the fact that the way Tosfos explained the Gemara, that the Bechor will have much better opportunities than the Poshet, that's part of being a Bechor. Meisvei, the Mishnah Masechet Gittin speaks about Misha Chetzi Evav Chetzi Ben Chayrim. You have an individual who, the way we always explain this Gemara, is you had an Evav Kanani who was owned by two people. This Evav Kanani was owned by two people, and the one owner freed him, and the other owner didn't free him. So the halacha is, Ivris Rabba Yom Echad, he works for his owner for 1 day, Vis Atma Yom Echad, and he works for himself 1 day. Divri Beis Hillel. The Shammah Emrim says by Shammah to Beis Hillel, the Kantam is Rabbi, so the owner who owns him is not losing out. However, as Atzmai Leit Kantam, he himself is in a bad place. Why? Lisa Shivcha and Yochel, he can't marry Shivcha because he's 50% free. And a regular free Jew may not marry a Shivcha. Lisa Baschayon and Yochel, and to marry a regular Jewish woman is not an option because he's a half Evid. To say Yibatel, that he shouldn't get married, says the Marvel in Livra Oilam, the world was created, Ella Leperiviv, that people should have children and get married. Shnem Lo Sabra, the Shevet Yisaro. So Tarsus asks, why does the Gemara quote this Pasuk, which is a Pasuk in Nevi'im in Yeshaya, why didn't the pasuk? Why didn't the Gemara quote the pasuk in Parshas Bereishis, Purur Revu, which is a mitzvah to say deraisa? So Tosfos gives two terutzim. One terutz Tosfos says is that the mitzvah Purur Revu is ready, was only set to a full-fledged free Jew. The Shevis Yitzara was set even to Avodim. So this individual was a Chatzi Eved, so he doesn't have the mitzvah Purur Revu, but he is Chayiv in the mitzvah of L'Shevis Yitzara, and that's why the Gemara quotes that pasuk. Another pshat that Tosfos answers is that we know there's a concept throughout the Torah of Onus Rachmana Patrei. If somebody can't do a mitzvah because of circumstances beyond his control, he's not obligated to do the mitzvah. So if that's the case, yes, we're supposed to get married and have children, but this Eved, because of his unique situation, can't. So he can't. And says Tosfos, says the Gemara, but the Kol HaOlam, the whole world, was only created L'Shevis Yitzara, to get married and have family. And therefore, in other situations, perhaps we'll say Onus Rachmana Patrei. Here, we can't say Onus Rachmana Patrei. Along the same lines, the Tosfos Rit says, the mitzvah Purur Revu was only said to a person who could get married. If this person, as we just described, is unable to get married, he doesn't have the mitzvah Purur Revu, but L'Shevis Yitzara does. So the Kli Chemda asks, how could the Gemara say that we should force the owner to free him? We know that the Pasuk says, L'olam ta'em ta'vaydu, and based on that, the halacha is that we're not allowed to free an Eved Kenani. So how can we tell this person to free his Eved Kenani? So the Kli Chemda says that, yes, there is L'olam behem ta'vaydu, but at the same time, there's loyal behem tavoidu. This has eved, but when is loyal behem tavoidu said? Loyal behem tavoidu was said by an eved who could be 100% eved to his owner. Here we have an individual who cannot be 100% eved because of the unique situation. In such a situation, we don't say loyal behem. We don't have the iser of loyal behem tavoidu. Ella. And therefore says the Gemara Kaifness, Rabbi, we force his owner to free him. But Vais and I say Ben Chayrim, and we make him free, and he owes the owner half the value of what he was freed. And says the Gemara V'chozer Beis Hillel, L'hoyrus K'divir Beis Shammai, ultimately Beis Hillel agreed to Beis Shammai. So it seems that according to Beis Shammai, the only problem he has is that he can't marry anybody. But if he would be able to marry somebody, a shivcha, we wouldn't make the owner free him. But why not? So from here we see, explained the Rishonim, that there's a difference, as we said a moment ago, between Purur Revu and the mitzvah L'Shevis Yitzara. For Purur Revu, we don't force you to free the Eved. But since he has a mitzvah of L'Shevis Yitzara, so L'Shevis Yitzara is the only mitzvah that we're concerned about. And to fulfill L'Shevis Yitzara, it could be accomplished with a shivcha as well. So if he could be married to a shivcha, it wouldn't be a legitimate reason to free him. The whole issue here is they can't even marry a shivcha. And what's going to happen is we'll free him. And after we free him, he'll be able to earn money. Because as long as he's working, any money that he gets becomes the property of his owner because of Kamash Karnavit Karnarabbi. So we wait to free him, and then he'll start earning money. And after he starts earning money, then he'll give the money. Then he'll give that money to the money that he owes to his to the owner that. Freedom. Tosfos asks, so why don't we say that he has a mitzvah, at least on the 50%, that he's free of Purur Revu, and it should be doicha the lav that she is not allowed to marry him because of Lo Yei Kaddish. So Tosfos answers, if she had a mitzvah to say and he had a mitzvah to say, so yes, then we could say the mitzvah to say is doicha lois to say. But the woman doesn't have a mitzvah to say. So for her, we don't have a situation of eser doicha lois to say. Another explanation given to this is that he has to get married. So even if we'll say that this is a situation of eser doicha lois to say, but she doesn't have to marry him. When do we say Eser Doicha Lois Asei? We only say Eser Doicha Lois Asei in a situation where that's the only way the mitzvah is going to be able to be fulfilled. For him, it may be the only way it's going to be fulfilled, but not for her. There's a very famous story. We've quoted the story previously. There was a person who lived. There was a gerer shul in Lodz, a lot of Gerer Chassidim in Lodz. And there was a person, there was a group of Chassidim, they all davened together in the same shul. And one of the Chassidim that davened in that shul owned an apartment house. And one of the other people who davened in that shul lived in that apartment house. And he hadn't paid rent for many months. So the landlord evicted him. The other Chassidim who davened in that shul were very upset. How could two people daven in the same shul and one should evict a person that you daven with, a person who's your friend? How could you behave that way? And the Chassidim wrote a letter to the Imri Emes about what happened. The Imri Emes said he'll follow up on it. And the next time this Chassid, who was a landlord, came to see the Imri Emes, the Imri Emes said to him, how could you do something like that? Take a family of people who are your friends, davening in the same shul, and just evict them. So this landlord said, I understand what the Rebbe is saying, but if I don't evict him, that means I'm going to carry on my own the entire load of this person's rent. Why am I obligated to carry that entire load? If there was a fund made that everybody should participate, I would certainly participate. But what the Rebbe is asking for me is that I should carry this all by myself. Why is that acceptable? So the Rebbe took out a Gemara and he showed him our Gemara. We have in our Gemara this Eved who's 50-50. Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chayrim. And the Gemara says, as Beis Shammai so eloquently said it, he's in a dilemma, what should we do? And the Gemara says that the owner, and even Beis Hillel at the end agreed, should free him. And the question is, the owner should say, why am I obligated to carry on this all by myself? Why should I have to carry it? The answer is, sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts us into a situation where we have to do something, and when we get the opportunity to do it, then we should do it. And the fact that nobody else is going to participate or has to participate or is able to participate is irrelevant. And that's why you had the opportunity and you have the obligation to do what you have to do. And saying that somebody else should do it is unacceptable. And I saw that the Sefer Kehilas Yitzchak actually suggests that this is what happened in Mitzrayim. One of the famous questions that's always asked when we think about Yetzias Mitzrayim is that we know Klal Yisrael was supposed to be in Mitzrayim for 400 years and they were only there for 210 years. And many answers are given. The Kehilas Yitzchak answers that sometimes there are situations that we have to deal with the current situation, even though maybe it's not what we would want or should be. Paroi indeed maybe had a claim. Klal Yisrael was supposed to be Mitzrayim for 400 years. But we had here a situation that Klal Yisrael was in a Memtesh Sheri Tumma. And we know if they would have remained there any longer, they would be lost. In such a situation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, whatever was said about 400 years or whatever is all pushed to the side, and now they should be taken out. But now the question is, why over here do we free him? Here we have a situation where they are partners. the Eved owns half of himself and the other owners. So why can't we say Gora Ogid? Answers the Gemara Shani Hacha. Here, Gora Ogid is not an option. The Ogid Ika Good Leka. Yes, the Eved could say to the owner, free me or I want to buy myself out. But the other one can't say to the Eved, I'll buy you. Because a person who's free cannot become an Eved. And even if he comes, the Rishonim explain, an Eved Ivri, he can't become an Eved Kanani. And even if he becomes an Eved Ivri is only for 6 years. So this is a situation where Gora Ogud is not an option. And therefore, even if you hold of Gora Ogud, here it's not offered as an option. Toshma. Shnei Achim, if you have two brothers, Echad Oni v'Echad Osher. One is wealthy and one is not. The father left them over a bathhouse or a place where they crushed olives. If it's a place that they can rent out, so they should rent it out. And they'll divide the rent. But if it's only usable, the father made it as a personal bathhouse, and the wealthy brother says, "Hari Asha Oimel Oni." The wealthy brother says to the poor brother, "Kach lecha avodim v'yirchatzu." He says sarcastically, because in those days when you went to a merchatz, you couldn't go just yourself. You had to have people attending you. So he says, "Bring your avodim and let them take care of you in the merchatz." Or kach lecha zeisim, or bring olives, or bav aser b'beis habayis, and you could crush them. And of course, that's not an option. And if we're learning, ask the Gemara, that you could say God Ogud, why can't the poor brother say to the rich brother, buy me out? Says the Gemara, Hasam Nami Ogud Ik Leka. The poor brother has the ability to say to the rich brother, buy me out. But the rich brother can't say to the poor brother, buy me out, because he knows he doesn't have money. And therefore, that when they both don't have equal options, we don't say God Ogud. Tashma. The Brisa speaks about people who want to divide something they own. Kol shili cholik v'shmayalov. Anything that after will be divided, each share will still be usable for what it was originally designated, then cholkim. We could force them to divide it. Mlav, malonos and bedomim. If not, they do gora agud. So here we see clearly, as we began our shir today, that we're chaluka. We're dividing it. It's not an option. We do. Gora Ogud. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda is going to have to say, Rabbi Nachman and Yehuda are going to agree that this subject of Gora Ogud is actually Machlokes Tanoim. The Tanya. The Braisa discusses a situation where you have, for example, a chotzer that isn't large enough to be divided. As we said, the minimum size of a chotzer to be divided is 8 amos. And this chotzer is not big enough to be divided. So one says to the other, Tol ata shir, you take ani pachas. So let's say it's 7 amos, and one of these two brothers is so anxious to divide that in his desire to divide, he says, everybody has to have 4 amos. So you take 4 amos, even though it means that I'll remain with only 3 amos, I'm willing to let it be that way as long as we to divide. Shemeloi. It's not acceptable. So the Gemara discusses this. Hechidami. What is the case? Ilema kritani, that one brother is willing to give up an amma in order that you should have the 4 ammas you need. So we need to understand, ask the Gemara, my tamed of Shem Gamliel. Why would Rav Shimon Gamliel say that that's not acceptable? Elalav. Suggest the Gemara, Chsurim Echsevach Kamar. This is what the Braisa needs to teach us. Talat Kasher, you take your amount, Vani Pachas Shemeloi, or the Gura Ogit, or he says to him, take, either buy me out or I'll buy you out, Nami Shemeloi. And that's what the Tanakhama says. And Shimon Gamliel says the Gemara comes to say, Ein Shemeloi. So the Gemara is suggesting that this question of good or good is a machlokes the Tanakhama or Shimon Gamliel, where the Tanakhama subscribes to good or good, and Shimon Gamliel does not. Says the Gemara, loy. That's not the way. We don't have to explain that this braisa represents such a machloikus tanoim. Rather, loyalam kriktani. It's to be learned the braisa as its simple explanation was. I, the comrade, when we learned it that way, we have a question. My tam de Rishim Gamliel, how do we understand Rishim Gamliel? Why is it not acceptable if I'm willing to take less? Says the Gemara, Mishim Damale, the partner who's going to get four amos, says to the brother who's only going to end up with three partners, Ibidami, if you want me to buy you out, Lesli Dami Lemaitanlach. I don't have the ability to buy you out, so we don't say good or ugud. But Matana, so you say you're giving up an amma just to accomplish this division, Lenichli. I don't want to do that. The Ksiv, Saina Matana Yichya. I don't want to have a gift from you. In other words, you're giving me an extra half an amma. I'm not interested in gifts. And here the Gemara introduces the concept of Sayyidim B'tanas Yechya, that people should take gifts. So the first question that we need to understand is, what does the Tanakhama say? Rav Shim Gamliel is quoting a Pasuk, Sayyidim B'tanas Yechya, Pasuk in Mishlei. How does the Tanakhama disagree with that? The answer is that, of course, under normal circumstances, says the Tanakhama, we say matana siyachia. But when somebody receives a gift, and there's a constructive purpose in receiving the gift, says the Tanakhama, we don't say matana siyachia. Here, the person who's giving the gift, the extra half an hour. Is doing it for constructive purpose, that they should be able to divide without any problems. Under those circumstances, that's not a violation of Sayyidim B'tanas Yechya. And the Chidah brings a raya to it. The Chidah says, how could a person who collects staka, unfortunately, ever take staka? Isn't there a concept of Sayyidim B'tanas Yechya? So certainly, if it's a situation where the person, if he won't take staka, won't be able to survive, so then we could understand that he's taking tzedakah because he needs to be able to live. But let's say a person has what to live on, but he needs tzedakah. How could he take tzedakah? Sayyidim B'tanas Yechya. The answer, says the Chidah, is that when we give, as we've been learning in our Masechta, when we give someone else the opportunity to give tzedakah, so we're giving him the opportunity to do a mitzvah of giving tzedakah. And maybe, says the Chidah, so when do we say Sayyidim B'tanas Yechya? When the person who's giving, when there's no constructive purpose in the gift. Here, where there's a constructive purpose in the gift, there we don't say Sayyidim B'tanas Yechya. The Shulchan Aruch, in Chayshim Mishpat, Simen Reish Mem Tesef Hei, Midas Chassidus, Shloim Mekabel Matana, Midas Chassidus is not to take gift. Ela Leftoich B'Hashem, a person should rely in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sheitan Leidei Mechsori, He'll give us what we need, Shenemar V'Soyne Matanas Yechya. The Sma gives a different explanation. He says that when a person takes gift, he will now have, not will be beholden to the person who gives him a gift, and sometimes he has to say something to that person, because the person's not acting appropriately. But now I won't say anything to him because I'm beholden to him. Another explanation that the Sma gives is that a person, Sayyidim B'tanas Yechya, is sort of a violation of the mitzvah of Amunah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says we're supposed to rely that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us what we're supposed to get. By seeking gifts, it's showing that we're not relying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of us. But the Mefarshim ask a question. Avraham Avinu says to Sarah, "I am Rina, a choisi at leman yitav li bavarech v'choisa nafshi begololech." And Rashi explains, "Leman yitav li bavarech yitnu li matarnus." So the question is, Avraham Avinu certainly was a person who fulfilled what it says his son matanus yichya. So how was Avraham Avinu asking for gifts? So one pshat that I saw is that Avraham Avinu was saying to Sarah, they're going to offer me gifts, and then I will refuse the gifts because of Sinei Matanos Yechia. And once I refuse the gifts, Sinei Matanos Yechia, V'chayse Nafshi B'Glolech, that's how I will be Zoicha to remain alive. But there's another approach that some of the Paiskim suggest. Only by Klal Yisrael, one Jew from another Jew, is there a concept of Sinei Matanos Yechia. But to take a gift from an Akum is not a violation of Sinei Matanos Yechia. And that's why Avraham Avinu was allowed to say, I'm going to take gifts. Says the Gemara, Amalei Abayla Rabbi Yosef, Hod Rabbi Yehuda, this that Rabbi Yehuda said, that we say, God or Ogid, says the Gemara, the Shmuel, he learned it from his Rabbi Shmuel. And as I saw the Rishonim explain, we know throughout Shas, Rabbi Yehuda was a Talmud, both of Rav and Shmuel. And when Rabbi Yehuda said a halacha, there was always a question in the Beis Medrash from which of his Rebbeim did he hear his halacha, from Rav and Shmuel. So Rabbi comes to tell us, this halacha that Rabbi Yehuda is teaching us in our Shia today, he heard from Shmuel. The Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, when we discussed dividing assets, the Mishnah said, the Kisvei Kodesh, Abish Shneim Reitzim, if they inherited Kisvei Kodesh, and they're both anxious to divide it, Lo Yechleiku. Vam Shmuel, and Shmuel said this, Lo Yisharu B'Karach Echad, if they inherited one Sefer. And therefore, if it's one Sefer, it's embarrassing to divide it. Abishnei Kreichas, if they inherit two Svarim, Chalkim, they could divide it. Now, the Gemara is assuming now that's referring to a situation where they don't want, that both of them don't want to necessarily divide it, and still they could divide it. Visa Kedaitach, says the Gemara, if we're going to say, less than the God of Ogud, there is no halacha of God of Ogud, Mayir B'Krach Echad, why is this only by one volume, B'Shnei Krachim Nami, even by two volumes, since the two volumes, the Gemara is assuming that the two volumes are not the same value. And they can't divide it only through saying God of Ogud, where one brother will get one of the volumes, and the other brother will get the other volume, and the one that gets the more expensive volume will have to pay to the one that gets the cheaper volume the difference, or his share of difference. So we see that Shmuel holds that when there are two Svarim, we divide it. And the Gemara is assuming that there is no way of dividing it unless there is no way of dividing it only through an Gura Ogut situation. Says the Gemara, Tigmar of Salmon, the Salmon is going to say that Shmuel only said his halacha B'shneim Reitzim, when they both wanted to divide. God or Ogid, as we've been saying throughout the shir, is an option in a situation where these two partners don't want to divide, and the question is, can one demand God or Ogid from the other one? But if they're both willing, there is no question. Amar Meima, Hilchos HaLacha is this din of the God or Ogid. We do follow the concept of God or Ogid. Amar Ravashi LaMeima, Hod Rav Nachman Mai, what are you going to say what Rav Nachman has been telling us, that he doesn't hold of God Ogud? I don't agree with it. Says the Gemara, Loi, is that true, that we don't follow the opinion of Rav Nachman? For Rav Bachinina, Rav Din Bachinina, Shavuk Le Avu Tati Amsa, the father passed away, and he left him over two maids. Chod Yada Afio Bashli, one knew how to bake and cook, for Chod Yada Pilcha V'Navla, and one knew how to sew. One of the brothers wanted to divide. You take one shivcha, I'll take the other shivcha. And the other brother wanted that they should keep them both. Vasla kamei de Rava, and they came to Rava with this din taira. And I'm a little less dinner, the God Ogid. We don't say God Ogid. And so, isn't this clearly an indication that we don't say God Ogid? Answers the Gemara Shani Hossam. The Mami Baile Tavayu. One of them needed both of them. And the other one needed both of them. Because, as we just said, each one of them had different abilities. So since they each had different abilities, we don't look at these two shivchas as two separate shvachos, that each one, that you could say, you take one and I take one. It's not one and one. Because each one is individual and different than the other. So it's similar to what we discussed, a sadash, anybody could do chaluka, a field that can't be divided. And such a key kamalei, at kadva, no chada, lav, gara, ogur, it's not considered gara, ogur, because each one could say, I need the shivcha, it's therefore, it's not divisible. Ask them of a kisrei kodesh, the tevayu mebailu, everybody needs both svarim, and still we said a moment ago, even though I need both svarim, one is say for Yeshua, one is say for Shoiftim. Says the Gemara, we just said that Rav Shalman said that we're talking about a case, b'shneim rotzim. If they both agree, then there is no concern. And as the Rishonim point out, since it's in two separate volumes, there is no issue of bezoin ha-sefer, because we're not taking a sefer and dividing it into two, and that's why it's permissible. So since we mentioned Kisvei Kodesh, the Gemara talks about Kisvei Kodesh. Tan Rabbanan, Madbik Adam Torah Nevi'im Kesuvim Ke'echad, a person can make one volume of Tanakh, Divrei Meir. Rav Yehuda Omer, Torah b'fnei atzmam, Nevi'im b'fnei atzmam, Kesuvim b'fnei atzmam. Everything should be kept separately. Nevi'im b'fnei atzmam, v'kesuvim b'fnei atzmam. Not only can you not put Torah together with Nevi'im and Ksuvim, but every sefer of Navi and every sefer of Ksuvim should be kept separately. So many Rishonim suggest that perhaps the reason that you're not allowed to do this is because if you'll have it all in one volume, and as we remember, in the time of Chazal, and we'll see that in our Gemara, they weren't written as books like we have. They were written as scrolls, like we have a Sefer Torah. And therefore, we're going to scroll them together. We're going to end up maybe having a situation that the Nevi'im are on top of the Ksuvim, and the Ksuvim are, Nevi'im are on top of the Torah, the Ksuvim are on top of the Torah. And in order to avoid that, that's why they can't be put together. But many Rishonim say that that can't be pshat in the Gemara. Because if it's rolled that way, it isn't being done in a way to cause a bezoin to the Sefer Torah. And that's therefore, that would not be a reason that they can't be put together. Rather, the reason they can't be put together in one volume is because people, when they see it in one volume, may come to make a mistake that they're all equal in stature. And the halach is, of course, Torah is not the same as Nevi'im and Ksuvim. And therefore, they should be kept separate. And Rabbi Yitzchok Zilberstein Shleita, based on this, says that many times, and he discusses the following shaila, many times people make a Shabbos, a Simcha, a weekend, and they put out a pamphlet. And in the pamphlet, they put the Kriyas HaTorah of that week's parasha, and they put in the Daf Yomi or other Svarim, and they put it together in one pamphlet and one sefer. And Rav Yitzchok Zilberstein wants to suggest that that shouldn't be done, based on what we're learning in our Gemara today. Our Gemara says you can't put Tanakh all together in one scroll because it's a bizarre to the sefer. It's a bizarre that people will treat Nevi'im and Ksuvim equal to the Torah. So certainly putting a Gemara together with Tanakh, he suggests maybe something that shouldn't be done. Vam Rav Yehuda, Ma'isa Bebaisa Ben Zunim, that he had eight Sifri Nevi'im all together. The Chum say that that's not what happened. Each one was kept separately. There was a situation where we brought together and we said that it's kosher, following the opinion of Rameya. Ben Chumash L'Chumash, says the Gemara, between the Chumashim in the Sefer Torah, we have to leave Arba Shittin, four lines empty. Became Ben Kol Navi V'Navi, if we have a scroll that has on it different Nevi'im, we should always have four lines between each Sefer. Navi Shishnei Masr, Trey Asr, which represent 12 Svarim, 12 short Svarim, there, we don't have to have four lines, it has to be three lines. The Ritva says that all of these shurim that the Gemara is saying are minimums. But if you want to leave more lines, you're allowed to. And says the Gemara, "Umasayim al-mata, umaskim al-mala." That the way Rashi explains the Gemara is that even though we just learned that you're supposed to leave four lines between the Sfarim, if a Sefer ends at the bottom of a page and the new Sefer is beginning at the next page, then the new Sefer could be gone on the top of a new page, even though there are no lines separating the two Sfarim. That's the way Rashi explains the Gemara. The Tosfos quotes the Ritzvah differently. He says that what the Gemara says is that by a Navi, you could end the Sefer at the bottom of the page, and then you're going to have to leave four empty lines on top of the next page. By a Sefer Torah, says that that's not allowed. He says by a Sefer Torah, you should always make sure that one Sefer never ends at the bottom of the page. You should never come to leave it at the end of the page. You should always have it end in the middle of the page, then have your four lines, and after you have the four lines, start the next Sefer. The Rabbeinu Gershom says what the Gemara says means is that if you finish a Sefer in the middle of a page, you should always, by Navi, always leave the rest of the page empty, no matter how many lines it means, and then start the next Sefer on the next page.